or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 2nd, 2016, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on Attacking Strongholds.
For the time will come, says the Lord, that men will not endure sound doctrine, but I would say to you this day that that time is here, that time is here, and people are running here and there seeking a word from the Lord, but my word is there for you. Do not seek to fashion me to fit into your time frame or into your mold, for I will not be programmed to fit the needs of man, but I will program man to fit my needs, thus says the Lord. You must submit to me. You must know my word. You must know my spirit, for there are many things that are in this world that are not of me, that claim to be of me, says the Lord. There is a gospel that is going forth that is not of me. There is a gospel that is making men to and put themselves upon pedestals, and that will fall. And I would say to you that you could be taken in by such a gospel if you do not know my word, if you do not follow closely to me, if you do not let my spirit abide in you and guide you. For Holy Spirit has come to give you life. I've come to give you life, but you refuse to walk in my ways. You refuse to walk in the way. It's not an easy way, but it's a pleasant way. It's a way that will lead you to life everlasting. And there are many deceivers that are in the world today. There are many deceptive gospels that are being preached, but I would say to you, ask me for truth. Ask me for the way, and I will show it to you, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So do not be deluded, do not be misled by these gospels that may look good, that may feel good. They may be like an apple that is really beautiful on the outside, and oh man, it's very appealing. But I would say to you that inside it may be rotten, it may be full of stuff that's not even fit to eat, and that's what many people are feeding their spirit man on. Is food that is rotten, that is not fit to eat. But I would say to you, seek my word, seek my face, and I will bring to pass those things that you desire in your life. I will bring to pass. My word will bring repentance to you. My word will bring closeness to you. My word will root out all those things that are like me, saith the Lord. But I would say to you, cling to me. Cling to me with everything that you have. Do not be led astray by these people that are trying to promise you this and promise you that. For there are many things that I want to do on the earth, but my people are not ready. My people are not ready to receive that which I want to give them. My people are following after these false things. They're following after false doctrines. They're following after a feel-good gospel. But I would say unto you, the way may be hard, but I will go before you. I will make a way. I will go before you. I will lead you. I will guide you. But you must be willing to be led. You must be willing to be guided, says the Lord. For I desire to do a work in the earth. But I'm looking for a people that are not afraid, a people that are brave, a people that will stand forth, will dare to take a risk for my sake. I'm looking for that group of people, that remnant of people that will go forth in the earth and do mighty exploits. There will be many in the army that I'm calling, that I'm placing, putting together. But many of those will be just standing on the sidelines, ever not be fighting, but I am looking for a fighting force that will move through this land in victory. I am looking for a force that will overturn this government. I am looking for a force that will walk before me and will say, thus saith the Lord, and not be afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. I am asking you to follow me, not to follow after some gospel, not to follow after some minister, not to follow after something that may feel good and look good and say, oh, this is of God. These things are not of me, and you will know by the Spirit the things that are of me, if you will walk close to me and allow my spirit to guide you, says the Lord. You may be seated.
Many of you here have been healed. You were healed a long time ago, but you don't believe my word. Many of you here say that healing was for then and not for now. Hear me. Hear me. This morning, today, right now, healing is yours right now. I speak healing to all of you that are here.
those of you that Satan has taken away things from you, I speak healing to you right now. The Lord says, I healed you. I healed you. I healed you. You are healed. Believe my word. Believe my word. Lord, I believe you. I believe your word. I trust your word. I know your word. And my faith believes your word. And I speak healing, Lord. By the authority in your name that you give us, I speak healing over this congregation this morning, Lord. I also speak faith. Build their faith. Show them, Lord. Show them their healing. Show them their healing. Nikki, want to come? Nikki's going to teach us this morning.
Before we do, I ask not today, but she'll share some of the world.
At the end of Acts chapter 2, there's the story where Peter is speaking, and 3,000 get saved that day. And they all come together, they share all things, and share all their possessions, and they continue on in one accord. In the middle of this story is verse 43. Sometimes we overlook these little verses reading the whole story. But I'll read this verse. It says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And this is together for a reason. We're waiting for the signs, for the wonders. We want the healings, the miracles. But we need to understand it's joined here with fear coming upon the soul. And this would be the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the only fear that is godly.
Yes.
All right? The other fears come from the enemy. But the fear of the Lord puts that soul in subjection.
Yes.
What we see in the churches today is this magnification of the soul. The soul is being magnified by their praise and their worship services. It's magnifying their own souls. It's not magnifying the Lord. And what advantage did my soul drop? Magnify the Lord. If we want to see the true signs and wonders coming forth,
the soul needs to be put down. We need that sword that separates soul and spirit. We need to learn how to discern what is soul, what is spirit. Right now it's mixed in the church, and that they're calling everything Holy Spirit, and that's not true. A lot of that is human soul power that is confused for Holy Spirit, and wonders can come out of that. All the false signs, lying wonders, that comes out of the power of the human soul. Satan is operating through the uncrucified flesh and the soul power in the church. That is the false side. And if we can't discern the difference, we're going to be led astray by it. If we want the true healing, the true gifts, the miracles from the Lord, we need to put the soul down first. We need to crucify that flesh and put it down. And that starts with the fear of the Lord. And the Lord told me a few months ago, there's no fear of the Lord in the church. So we need to pray for that, for the fear of the Lord, to put down our flesh. And then the Spirit has room to work. And we will start to see more of the true gifts. God's not holding out on us. We're standing in the way because we're not willing to put that flesh down.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you how I got this newspaper this morning. I didn't steal it. I didn't buy it. I went out there early this morning and was walking over here praying about 5:30. And heavy burden. I didn't know what in the world. I said, the Lord, what's wrong with me? And I finally sat down on that rock fence over there and sitting there, and I took my glasses off. I was just weeping and crying for the Lord, what's wrong? And about that time, a car pulled up and just sat there, and I thought, I wish you'd go away. I'm sitting there, and you know, and finally, well, maybe the Lord wants me to say something to him, but I don't want to say anything. I want to go away. I'm going to read to you in Acts chapter 8.
And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south into the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship. He was returning, sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And that's what the Lord was talking to me about. You know, while I'm sitting there wishing he'd go away, you go there and talk to this man in his chariot. And praise God. Well, I just wasn't going to do that. But then the man got out. And I thought, oh my, what is this? He got out, and he doesn't know I'm sitting there. He's a nice little man, and well, nice big man. But he's digging in the back seat, and I said, well, good morning. He didn't know I was there, and we had a little conversation. He said, well, I'm looking for... He's a newspaper man. That's how I got the newspaper. He gave me one. And he's looking for some more rubber bands. He ran out of rubber bands. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. So I took his hand, prayed for him. The Lord gave me some words for him. And then when I finished, he said, I needed that. And then I go sit down. He's digging in. And then, I mean, almost immediately, he said, I found him. He said, you prayed and I found him. Well, praise God. It kind of goes along with what the Lord wants me to share this morning. Before I do, I have a book back there, the Holy Spirit Sent Down from Heaven. And I've told this once or twice, but Assistant Pastor Daniel and I were sitting at a place there and rented a booth at a convention where you could sell books and things. And we were just sitting there minding our own business, and a lady came by, a middle-aged lady. We were talking. And, you know, they pick up and look at your books. She picked that up, and she jumped back, started hollering, and said, did you feel that? I thought, what? And then she starts crying. She said, did you feel that wind? And, I didn't feel a wind, but she said, I found out she's a pastor's wife. She said, I haven't felt God in years, in years. And when she opened the book, she felt the wind blow on her. So if you buy that book... No, I tell you the truth. Early that morning, I got up and went outside. I believe what the Lord, you know, He set the pattern early in the morning. You know, so I was out there walking. It's still dark and praying, and the Spirit of God came on me so strong. I mean, powerful for a long, long time. And that's why when she opened that book, she felt the wind. But the book's good, praise God. And some people use it for study and for classes and things. And then I have a free CD back there, music. It's not professional, but I believe it's anointed. And then if you're not on my email list, and you'd like to be, if you'll let me have your email address, I'll put you on there. If you missed seeing a picture of my tractor yesterday, so you're the loser. Praise God. I'm going to talk to you about attacking strongholds, and the reason why is, you know, you do all this studying, getting your sermons together, and you get here, and God doesn't let you use any of them. But I got on here, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard the word attack. Now, that can mean anything. We're under attack, we're to attack, whatever, but He gave me this message. And before I begin, I want to ask Brother Randy Ritchie, will you stand and pray over the message, please, sir?
Father, in the name of Jesus, you're a glorious God.
Yes.
You love your people. There's no God like you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Lord, we want to build a house, and all of us build houses that are holy houses. But
yes.
The word says to build it without you is in vain.
Yes.
Lord, we're calling on your name.
Hallelujah.
Your name is Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, Jehovah, our God, our King. We're calling on you as our Father for help. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the authority over the power of the enemy. We bind everything that would hinder this word that would come forth in Jesus' name. Every mind-blinding spirit, deaf, dumb spirit,
yes,
harassment, take authority over any witchcraft. Thank you, Father, that our brother Nicky, your son, hears from the living God, that he has saddled this horse, but that, Lord, he gives you the reins. He saddled the horse for war, but you take the reins. And I thank you, Father, for the things that he doesn't even know he's going to say that are coming straight from the throne of God. Lord, we give you the glory. Put the blood of Jesus on our ears and the blood of Jesus on his tongue. We give it all to you, Lord, in advance. All glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, man of God. Praise God. Attacking strongholds. Matthew 16:15. Jesus said to them,
But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you're Peter,
and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't building the church on Peter's, per se, but he's building it upon the fact that there is this recognition that we have revelation of who he is, and then he knows who we are. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, if God doesn't know who you are, the devil doesn't know who you are. And then that means we're a non-entity. We're in the zero, we're in nothing. How do we know that? Because when the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the demon out of that one man, they said, We adjure you in the name of Jesus. And Paul preaches, come out, and he said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? So I'm telling you this morning, if God doesn't know, and he the Lord knows who is his, if he doesn't know you, the devil doesn't know you. So you're just in a mess this morning. Amen. Praise God. You're just here. But so he builds his church upon revelation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What that is saying is the gates of the government of hell will fall before us. Shall not prevail. We're going to attack. You know, we're attacking. I know we're under attack sometimes, but we're attacking, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, shall not prevail against us or before us. Now, it's the saints, it's his church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. It's not a business, not an entertainment center or a club that calls itself a church. I'm a secretary treasurer of our section, and so sometimes I have to be secretary treasurer over other churches. And this is one particular, I've done it several times, bless their heart. But they got a new pat. And the first thing they want, they'll call me and say, I want the books, you know, precisely, particularly the checkbook. That's what they want. I said, well, just come get it. I'd be relieved if you'll come get this. And one said, well, you know the church is just a business and we have to run it like a business. I should have rebuked him, but I don't do that a whole lot. But I thought to myself, brother, I wouldn't want to sit under your pastorate if you think it's a business and you got to run it like a business. But it's not. The church is not a business. And you don't run it on business principles. You run it as the Lord directs you. You run it in honesty, but you don't do it. I mean, God's going to have you do things that doesn't make very good business sense. And it is the living, overcoming, true body of Christ, which is the army of his saints. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. You believe that this morning? Well, I want to tell you, before I get too far, you can bind and loose all you want, but unless it's a prophetic word coming out of your mouth, it's not going to happen. You understand? It's not going to happen. Now, Jesus is speaking here of an open heaven. You know, he said there in John 1, he said, the heaven, you'll see the heavens open over me. And we have to have an open heaven. And so he's talking about an open heaven that hears when we bind and loose whatsoever, and which the kingdom of heaven will enforce with all the forces of heaven. You know, there's no mightier kingdom. No kingdom has a mightier leader. Now, Jesus is speaking of us attacking, not retreating, not hiding from the devil. You know, you try to do something for God, the devil beats you up, and you kind of like to go under the radar after that. You know, that didn't feel good. But we don't hide from the devil. We're not compromising with him. We're not making a deal with him. We're not giving in. We're not giving up. We're not surrendering. We're not being defeated. But certain victory over all, we're going to have certain victory over all the strongholds of the devil. Now, Jesus came to attack. He came to attack. Before Jesus could be effective in his attack on the kingdom of darkness, there were some things that must be put in order, and that we must put in order. Philippians 2:6 said, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, It means he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Praise God in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Praise God. Now, we're looking at this, and we see here that he made himself of no reputation. We see this scripture here, and we understand in order to be effective and successful in attacking the strongholds of the devil, and all of us, this involves all of us. Whether it's in your home, where you work, if it's in your church, in the neighborhood, the nation. To be effective and successful in attacking the strongholds of the devil, we must do what Jesus did. We must let go of all our ambitions. Made himself of no reputation. All that reputation's big and important, isn't it? We'll do almost anything to protect our reputation. Even when we've been drugged through the mud, We'll try to, you know, protect that reputation. There's a time there, Peerless said, I didn't want to stick my head out the door. I've been accused of just about everything you could think of. And first, you know, you try to fight back. That's your reputation. But you find out you're just making it worse. So you just leave it alone and let God take care of it. I'll tell you, some of those that accuse me are already burning in hell. I'm telling you, they're already burning in hell. And you say, well, you sure are a mean man. Well, they were mean. And so, thank God. Now, we must do what Jesus did. Let go of our ambitions. Let go of our selfishness. Let go of our agendas. That's what Jesus, he emptied himself. I was praying, in fact, the morning, Thursday morning before I came here, there was three people the Lord had me ministering to. One of them, now this quite a while. And so distraught, and he was sitting out there talking. We were sitting at the picnic table under a tree there by the church, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's go in the church. So in the church, and I said, you go over there and pray, and I'm going to walk around and pray. And so I walked around, and the Spirit of God began to come on me, and I began to prophesy, and I said, I gave him a signal, he got up, I began to pray for him. Oh, God came down, touched that young man. And I gave a word. You know, a word will set people free. A word from God will set people free.
Amen.
And the Lord had me tell him that where fear is, all kinds of diseases and sickness lurks where there is fear. Not this fear of God we heard about, but where there's fear. And he's been so full of fear. And I laid hands, I prayed for him, I gave him the word, and a little while God came on him, he's prophesying. I mean, getting with it. And so I just moved off, and the Lord told me, get away from him. Get away, don't be standing out. But let me tell you what I'm saying. Sometimes we pray for people, and God touches them and says, right here, this is, you know, we're the reason, we're the cause, we want to get some glory, get over there and hug them, or say, you know, no, we can't. We must make ourselves of no reputation. You see, Jesus often when he did things, he's out of the picture. He goes off hiding. You know, he slips out. Tell no man. You know, keep this. He's not. He made himself of no reputation. Oh, what God could do if we weren't concerned about our reputation and building it up. Now, God cannot use us to attack the strongholds of Satan if our agenda is to exalt our reputation or to get anything or any reward or pull down a stronghold. Jesus was totally committed and submitted to the Father, and so must we be. You know, we're not going to do anything for God unless we're committed and submitted in all things. This is not a game. This is a matter of life and death. These opportunities sitting out there, this man pulls up this morning, that's not an opportunity for me to get some kind of glory. Amen? I have to be submitted. I have to be committed. It's not about me. It's about God wanting to minister to that man. I tell you, we'll get in that frame of mind. It will operate. That God will send people by me. Oh, he'll send them. And you'll be an instrument in the hands of the Lord to make a great difference in people's lives. Now, John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what my life is all about. Now, what was the will of the Father that Jesus came to do and to finish? 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." What are we here for? What has He called us to do? What's this camp about? It's to destroy the works of the devil, which is so obvious. People need help. And our purpose, as Jesus' purpose was, is to attack those gates of hell so that men can go free from their bondages to sin, to the flesh, to self, to the world, to the devil. Those things that the devil has brought them into bondage. Now, this is in line with the will of the Father, who so loved the world that He sent Jesus down from heaven. He sent Him here to attack the works and destroy the works of the devil. And He did it. And praise God, through this book we see men and women from the beginning to the end that are attacking the works of the devil. Amen. John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can't of my own self do nothing." We have to get that settled. We can do nothing. I don't care how much Bible school you have, how much experience you have, or how whatever you are or I am. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. The minute we begin to think we can do something, we're going to lose it. It's lost. He says, "As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me." I'm not here to do my agenda. I'm here to do His. I'm here for His will. John 6:38, "For I came," Jesus speaking, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Mark 14:36, "And Jesus said, Abba, Father," this is when He's in the garden facing the crucifixion, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to You. All things are possible to You. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." Not what I will, but what You will. Praise God. There are times that God does not answer our prayer like we want it answered. There, we were coming back from Mexico several years ago. We had a great big van. It would haul 25 people. And we'd taken a big group down there of young people and adults. And on the way back, we had enough money to buy gas to get home. And just south of San Antonio, there on Interstate 35, the thing jumped time. So we're over on the shoulder. And I'm telling the Lord, "Lord, this is not supposed to happen. You know, You're not supposed to let this kind of thing happen." Well, the highway patrolman came by and said, "Well, I'll call your wrecker and you can go to town and get a hotel." And I said, "Oh, no, thank you. I'm not going to swear by anybody." And then in a little while, the deputy sheriff came by and told us the same, "Oh, no, thank you." But then God sent this young man by, a young man. And he said, "Well, I'm going to go get a chain and pull you up here to the Burger King parking lot." And he did. Then he come back and said, "Well, you know, my grandmother lives down. She's got a garage, and I'm going to pull you down there." And she pulled down there, and that sweet lady let all those kids and everybody go in and spend the whole night and fed them. And me and the other guys out there working on the thing all night. And then so the next morning, Roger, he was trying to put the alternator back in after he changed the timing belt and everything, time and chain, and he slips and punctures the radiator. Oh, God. And so we finally had to go to San Antonio. It's New Year's Eve day. That's kind of hard to find somebody to fix the radiator on New Year's Eve day. But we got, God bless, and so we're back on the road, and it's spitting and sputtering. It's still not the time. It's not right. It's leaking, but we got home. Lord, You're not supposed to let that happen. I'll tell you one thing God taught me. He'll get you through it. He doesn't always keep you from things, but He'll get you through it. And you need to know that, and I need to know that. When I Safeway closed and I obeyed God and stayed at that church, and God said, "I'll take better care of it than Safeway did." Well, in 1987, I was making $12 an hour and had all kinds of benefits and medical and this, whatever you want, you know. And so, well, of course, that was over with. And the first time my oldest son had an asthma attack, and we had to take him to the hospital, and he had to stay in the hospital. I said, "Okay, God, You said You'd take better care of me than Safeway did.
This is not right. You're supposed to keep him out of the hospital, but God showed me he could keep him through the hospital, and we never paid a dime. Not because we didn't pay our bill, because they erased the bill. I mean, God did that. There's a sweet lady in there helped us out, and I never said a word to her. Praise God.
Oh, please, lady, I can't pay this bill. No, I've never said anything. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It has to be that way in our lives. You want a Cadillac, God's going to give you an old Ford truck that the paint's peeling off of. Praise God. Thank Him for it. You could be walking.
That's right.
Four things qualified a submissive and obedient Jesus to accomplish the will of God on this earth. Four things qualified Him to attack the works of the enemy. Luke 4:1. I tell you, why do you think that the devil met Jesus on every corner? Why do you think he did? Because he's attacking his kingdom. Jesus is attacking his kingdom. You know, one of the Wesley brothers, he was riding along on his horse. He was doing his circuit preaching, you know. And so he's going on his horse. And it came to him, nobody's thrown anything at me lately. He got off that horse, knelt down in the bushes there, and began to pray. Repent, God, what have I done wrong? Oh, Father, forgive me. He's repenting. And after a while, he feels an egg hit him in the back of the head. He thinks, oh, thank you. Jesus gets on his horse and goes on. Praise God. I'll tell you the truth. I might have been a tomato. But anyway, he got hit in the back of the head with something. Praise God. Well, if you're attacking the kingdom of God, stuff's going to come at you. If it's not coming, we might need to repent. Praise God. Luke 4:1. These four things are found right here in the fourth chapter of Luke. Now, this happens after Jesus is obedient, submissive, and he's baptized by John. John says, no, you need to baptize me. And I'm the one that's the sinner, not you. But Jesus said, no, I have to obey all or fulfill all righteousness. We're not going to do anything for God unless we fulfill all righteousness. There's no corners to cut. I don't care if you're Billy Graham or who you are. You know that? We've got to fulfill all righteousness, and we must strive lawfully. And so it says, in Jesus being full, that's number one, full of the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost came on him there in that River Jordan. He begins then to do miracles. This is the transition in his life. And he's been full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was, number two, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power, that's number three, of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has, number four, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus, and Jesus began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now we see that Jesus was single-minded. He was driven to do the will of his Father in heaven. He did not use education. You know, they said, how does he know these things, having not learned letters? He hasn't been to our school. He didn't use his life experience. He didn't use self-promotion. There was a man that worked in the grocery store, one of the grocery stores where I work, and he's another denomination, and he explained to me how they do things. And you begin to see, to get on the board of that church or any of their churches, you had to be a banker, lawyer, somebody big and important to get on their board. See, it's all about who you are, not about who you know, your relationship with the Lord. Well, those things don't matter, and it's not going to help you. And I get this stuff in the mail all the time. Oh, you need to continue. You need a higher education. You need to go to more Bible school. You need to do this. You need to do that. I throw it in the trash. I say, I had enough of that. I know where it comes from. It comes from prayer on your face before God and reading the Word, and God will show you everything you need to know.
Amen.
And if you can't read, get your CD and listen to the Word. Praise God. No excuses. And the Apostle Paul says a similar thing concerning doing the will of God to destroy the works of the devil and to finish the will of God. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Jesus said, I came to do the will of God, to finish His work. I have kept the faith. Now, when I got here, and the Lord said, gave me just that one word, attack. You know, thank God for a word. The word attack. But you can't, you got to listen to God so He can show you what the words, you know, what the word means to you. It's like God will give you a word or a vision or a dream, and we have to be careful not to fill in the blanks because He's not going to show you everything right then. You understand that? You start filling in the blanks, then you get in trouble. You wait on God. Well, he gave me this about David. 1 Samuel 17:40. And David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. That's Goliath, the giant. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bore the shield before the giant went before him. Now, the enemy always attempts to hide behind something or someone. Might be your grandma, your mother-in-law, or whoever it is, your neighbor. And when the, verse 42, when the Philistine looked about, he saw David. And he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. You know, because we don't look like and act like a carnal warrior with carnal weapons, the world will disdain and despise us. And I'll tell you, it's getting to where the people that call themselves the organized church do the same thing. They're looking for pastors with a degree behind their name. You know, they're looking for something. They want to know, well, how success? How much did the last church you, or the church you're pastoring? What was the increase in attendance and finances? How many buildings did you build? They're looking at all that stuff. Well, David Wilkerson said every church deserves its pastor. And I'm going to have to tell you something. Every nation deserves its president. That man's not in office except that people voted him into that office because they wanted what he promised. And whoever the president is, verse 43, and the Philistine said to David, and I don't mean to be disrespectful of an office, and the Philistine said to David, am I tall that you come to me with staves or sticks? He's probably talking about that slingshot. With sticks, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now King Saul had offered his armor to David, you know that, but David declined such carnal weapons. They curse Jesus, they will also curse us. Don't let that bother you. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Praise God. I can tell you right now, David wasn't shaking in his boots. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, if the enemy will defy the Lord, then we can expect the enemy to defy us also, or to come against us. Now, again, the Scripture says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or worldly human weapons. They're not programs in the church. They're not a smoke machine behind the platform. They're not colored lights and strobe lights and all this junk, because that's what it is.
Amen.
It's not that stuff. It's not the educational degrees. It's not any of that. If you have it, okay. Use it wisely. If you don't, praise God. That's not going to diminish anything. And so, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. Now, the only means by which our weapons of warfare, which we use to attack the strongholds of Satan, will be effective is that they're activated in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
You have your shield, have your sword, whatever you want, your armor, I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know, the crippled man at the gate beautiful was healed through faith in Jesus' name, right? Silver and gold have we none. We don't have any carnal weapons, but what we have we give to you in the name of Jesus. Verse 46, and that's all we can give is what we have.
That's all we can give. Now, verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. Oh, I like this. And I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines, that army behind you, hide behind you. I will give this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Oh, praise God. Now, the works of the devil must be fed to the birds and to the wild beasts. Not ignored, not ran away from, not compromised with or submitted to. When the children of Israel refused to have faith in the Lord's name and to enter into the land which He had promised to them, they limited, Scripture says they limited, Numbers 14, they limited the Holy One of Israel. And therefore they did not give glory to God so that the whole earth would know that there was a God among God's people. They didn't give Him glory. You read that in Numbers 14. They didn't give glory to God. When we, here's the purpose of all of us in ministry, to give glory to God, to bring glory to His name by what is accomplished as we're led by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, as we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're anointed. We're to give glory to God. That's what it says. Nothing for us. Nothing for us. You know, the man of God, Elisha, had that right. Naaman tried to pay him, tried, you know, and I'm saying, you know, Paul was very plain about that. We minister to you in spiritual matters, and you minister back to us in tangible, you know, physical things. But he, in that case, he wanted them to know, that this man to know, and all those people with him, that what he had wasn't for sale. Okay, it wasn't for sale. I told you I went one time, I needed some direction in my life, and I was listening to the radio. That'll get you in trouble. And I went over this meeting in Oak Cliff area of Dallas. And, God's got a word for you. And I said, well, I need a word. I'm going. And I got there, and the place is already in progress, packed out. Big, huge place. And so the man was up, and I thought, well, he's already preaching, but I didn't know he was taking the offering, which took an hour. And he started out, if you got $500, God's got a word for you. And he worked his way down, way down. I mean, people, you know, till he got to the $5 words. And I said, well, I'm not doing this. And then finally he said, well, if you don't have any money, God's got a word for you. And, of course, he's already made a bundle, so he's, you know, I'm telling you, the Word of God's not for sale. Healing's not for sale. Nothing that God has is for sale. And your money perished with you, Simon. Your money perished with you. Well, so then I stood up. He came and gave me a word. None of it came to pass. Not one piece of it came to pass. Praise God. Maybe it's because I didn't give him any money. I don't know. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Praise God. Is the anointing greater when there's some money flowing?
No.
Hallelujah. Well, when they limited God. I want to tell you what. When God sends someone by to you, to minister to, and you refuse to, like they refuse to go in the land, you are limiting the Holy One of Israel, and you are costing Him His glory. And He's not happy about it. He's not happy about it.
Well, I'm shy.
There's no excuse. Praise God. There's no excuse. Well, I sinned last night. Well, ask God to forgive you and do what He told you to do. When I was young, and I sang with my sisters, and we had a trio, made a record and on TV and radio a little bit, and went to places to sing. But, I'll tell you one, I would never get up there and sing until I repented of everything I thought of, I could remember. Praise God. This simply means that instead of all the earth knowing that there's a God in Israel, His people defiled and profaned His name. How many times have we done the same because we chose to abdicate to the pressures of the enemy? Perhaps fear is the primary reason that people lie down and let the devil roll over them like a steamroller and devour them, instead of attacking him and his works of darkness. Anywhere there's fear, you know, most of us, if we'd have been walking through that graveyard and that man come out with the chains on him and he broke, he's naked and he's wild and he's crazy, we'd have went the other way or called for somebody to come get him. Praise God. If it had been Jesus and a funeral procession came by us and the Holy Spirit was seen and the Spirit go over there and raise him from the dead, we would have said, not me.
If we'd have been Jonah and God told us to go to Nineveh, we'd have got on the boat too, going somewhere else. Anywhere there's fear, you'll find sickness, disease, compromise, lurking, and destroying. We must remember the thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands.
Amen.
One time I was frustrated there at Peerless, and I always, things are hard. Never has been easy. It never has been easy. But God didn't tell me it would be. Just told me to go there. So I went over to talk to this pastor's wife, that I had a lot of confidence, and I went and I'm telling her all my sad story. Poor me, woe is me, feel sorry for me. After she listened a while, she said, Brother Pinson, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. Now that's not what I wanted to hear. But you know, I knew when she said it, that's the truth. I got myself back in my truck and went home. Heard what I needed. The battle's not yours. Let me tell you this one. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. But that doesn't mean we lay in front of the TV, you know, eating potato chips and drinking a Coke, watching our favorite show. Are people coming to know that you and your warfare against the devil and his kingdom of darkness is overcoming and bringing down strongholds by faith in Jesus' name? When Saul was looking for his father's donkeys, his servant said, I know where we can go and get an answer. Let me ask you, have you done enough in the Lord that people know to come to you when they need help? Have you? Praise God. We read in Luke 4 that when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. Praise God. You can do what God tells you and give Him the glory. Now, can you see that we're not warring with carnal weapons, but with the mighty weapons that operate by the power which Jesus promised us through the Holy Spirit? The battle is only the Lord's when we're... Listen, this is the truth. The battle's only the Lord's when we're full of the Holy Spirit. When we're led by the Holy Spirit, when we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and when we move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Those words in Luke 4 are not there by mistake. It shows us what we must do if we're going to attack the kingdom of darkness, the works of the enemy. According to Isaiah 10:27, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of oppression and bondage. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David, listen to this, turned and ran. Did he? No. He hastened or hurried, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran toward the Philistine and toward the army. Oh, praise God. This is incredible, folks. We need to run to the battle.
Amen.
We need to attack. Praise God. Turn the dumb TV off and praise God. This makes me so angry. He can find his church. They're all stuck in front of the computer, the TV, or doing something for themselves. And he can't find nobody. He looked for a man to stand in the hedge to make up the gap, but they're all busy.
Amen.
Doing their thing, making their next dollar. Hiding behind something. God forgive us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us lay aside our agenda. Let us forget our own inadequacies. Oh, the devil will be right there to tell you, you can't do that. Our imperfections, our lack of training, our education. The woman at the well. Look at this. 12 apostles, men with Jesus, go into the town to buy some food, come back with nothing but the food. This woman, this sinner, a woman, who has now believed on the Lord, goes into town and brings the whole town out. You can't do that. You didn't go to Bible school. Praise God. What's the devil telling you? Our age. We're too young. We're too old. Male or female. Our color. Our lack of strength. Scripture says, Paul said there, we're not sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. Or any other issue that the devil whispers in our ear, screams in our ear, that keep us from running to the battle in the name of the Lord. Condemnation is one of the things he uses.
Now, what if Peter and John had been in a hurry that day when they saw the lame man at the gate of the temple? Oh, we'll be late if we stop and talk to this man. Or what will people think if they see us talking to this man? Praise God. I'm going to tell you what now. When they walked by, the Holy Ghost drew their attention to this man. Now, I found this out. When I'm praying, I keep a journal. I got a lot of them now. And I put the date and all that. I heard, was it last night, telling us how we need to write these things down and we'll forget them. And that's the truth. Oh, the Lord will bring back my memory. No, maybe, but anyway. So, I have found this out. If the Lord gives me a word or something, well, that's... If I'll go over there and take my writing instrument out and begin to write it down, here it comes. It's just a flowing, praise God. Thank you. Somebody needs to hear that. Praise God. Now, any other objections that the devil might raise deter us from attacking the works of the enemy? When David's own brothers criticized him and mocked him for getting involved with the warfare and the threats and taunts of Goliath, what did he answer? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh my God, we're going to stand before God and answer for this. Every one of us in here are going to stand before God and answer. Too busy, whatever you're doing, whatever's going on. Here we see some of the reasons why the Lord chose David over all his brothers. While they're shuddering in their boots with fear, David's running to the battle. Which in the natural, he would have surely been decimated if his weapons were carnal. I tell you this morning, there's a cause. And if we'll be led by the Holy Spirit, we'll find ourselves like Jesus when he said he must needs go through Samaria. Now, if you read some of the commentators, they say, well, to get to where he's going, you have to go through Samaria. No, they went around Samaria. Jews went around Samaria for the most part. He must needs go through Samaria. The Holy Ghost is telling him to go through Samaria. The Holy Ghost tells him to stop by that well and sit there instead of going into town with his disciples. This is being led by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. He was full of Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Can you say this morning, you're led by the Spirit? Well, I've had people tell me I've never heard God speak. That would scare me to death. You're not hearing from God? Well, how are you going to get to heaven? Honestly, seriously, how are you going to get to heaven? My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Praise God, take the earplugs out of whatever you're listening to. He might have something to say to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag. And he took there a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Oh, praise God, there he is. Running his mouth, but now he's laying on the earth and blood coming out of his forehead. You know, your head bleeds more than any other part of you. I mean, it's gushing out. Gory scene. Just exactly where he needs to be. That's where we need to put the devil. Amen. In the name of Jesus, is on his face. In the dirt. One time we had a youth camp and a kids camp for about 13 years and we had buildings and everything is pretty good. But the Lord finished with that. You know, there's seasons for ministries. Some longer than others. Some people in the Word of God only showed up on the scene, on the pages of the book, for just one thing. But that's important, isn't it? Well, there was this teenage girl who's giving us fits. I mean, bad, bad, bad. And Lois Morgan, a dear black lady, a preacher, she sang, she played the piano. Oh, what an anointed woman of God. But she was in subjection to her husband and to her pastor and the pastor's wife. One time they had her scheduled for a meeting, a women's meeting, and the pastor's wife came over and said, God says for you to stay home today. Well, she could have said, well, I didn't hear that. But you know what she did? She unpacked the car and stayed home. Anyway, she was preaching. This girl's over there just disturbing, distracting. And she pointed over to her and she said, you know, I was preaching one time at a place, a women's meeting, and there's a woman disturbing, and I warned her in the name of Jesus. And she didn't listen. And she said, I'm warning you.
It wasn't but just a few minutes. That girl fell out of her seat into the dirt, had a mouthful of dirt laying in the dirt. Praise God. God has given every one of us a bag with some stones in it. You know what those stones are? The nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. But we have to be willing to put our hand in there and take out what God is providing and sling it. They would have done no good if they had stayed in the bag. You know, at any point, David could have got scared and run for his life and kept running. It's God. Are you scared? But I'm going to tell you, it's a sin to be more scared of the enemy than you are of God. It's a sin. It's God that will direct the stone, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He'll make them hit their mark. Oh, hallelujah. And cause them to do the work that He intends for them. Nothing but a death blow to the head of the devil's work will finish the work of God. Galatians 5:17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit against the flesh, for these oppose to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. We see here something is against the other. There are two opposing forces, which means a conflict, a warfare to either win or lose. Scripture talks about being a soldier and not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this world. But when we're led by the Holy Spirit, He'll put forth steps or methods for us to employ that will do the work when accompanied by faith in Jesus' name. David heard it so many times. I'm sure it's true of you. God has showed me something. Do you know what? You can be working on your truck or your tractor and don't know what to do. And the Holy Ghost tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
Called the word of wisdom. It works. Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart, I heard they were building the building. And they messed up somehow, and the engineers and the architects, and it came time to set down those preformed long pieces of concrete that would make the roof, and they said, we can't do it, they'll crush the wall. So he just stood there praying in tongues, and the Lord gave him a revelation. He went to him and said, look, I know I'm not a contractor, I know I'm not an engineer, I know I'm not an architect, but if you'll take a 2x4, or a 2x, it had to be wider than maybe 2x6, 2x1, and just put it all the way around on that concrete, these concrete walls, and set it down, it'll work. Now, you know, it takes faith to step out and say some things. They scratched their head, they thought about it a little while, and said, no, that'll work. That'll work. And it worked. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't have to waste a lot of money and redo something. Word of wisdom. It's a whole lot better to live by a word of wisdom. I really believe that the Holy Spirit can tell you what aisle to walk down in Walmart. I believe the Holy Spirit can tell you what road to drive down. I believe that. Praise God. But when we're led by the Holy Spirit, to put forth steps or methods. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. David heard a word from the Lord. He saw in the Spirit himself attacking that enemy. He saw that. He would have never done it had he not seen it. Don't get to thinking for a minute that there's something in David that's operating here. It's the power of God, the Holy Ghost working in that boy. David prophesied when he's standing there before him. You heard the prophecy. He prophesied also under the anointing concerning the sure victory in this conflict. And so are we to do also. Listen again, for David made no empty threats, but rather he prophesied under the anointing. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines, that army, your army this day, to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. He spoke that by the Holy Ghost. Now, the power of the word of truth. What are the weapons that Jesus used to destroy the works of the devil? What are the weapons? It's two things. It was two things. The works and the words of the Father in heaven. The works and the words. You have to have both, which are manifested by the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The words and the works of God are manifested through the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. The Lord showed me something years ago. You can't, as a minister, I can't just stand and preach to you and stop there. It's the words and the works. We minister the Word, but we also must minister the Spirit. The laying on of hands. The gifts. You know, we have to minister both. Praise God. John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life.
The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Daniel, assistant pastor, and I, we went to Mexico. We pulled up to Victory Outreach there in Nuevo Laredo. And a young man, Danny, he's now assistant pastor of that work. And he's a U.S. citizen, but God sent him there. And he come running out and said, "Well, I just heard a little while ago you were coming. Come," and he grabbed me and hugged me and he said, "You speak life into me." I've never had a greater compliment in my life, folks, than to somebody to tell you that you speak life into them. But I'll tell you, every time you and I open our mouth, we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. It's one or the other. When you murmur and complain and criticize and gossip, what are you speaking? Well, it's sure not life. When you agree with the devil, "Oh, it's coming down, speaking death. I'm not talking about necessarily positive confession. It is on, positive confession is worth nothing unless the Holy Ghost spoke it to you and through you. Psalm 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, what is the value of our power of the word, our words of truth? There's only the truth and the lie. There's nothing in between, folks. It's the truth or the lie. There's heaven, there's hell, there's white, there's black, the truth, the lie. No gray areas. But the truth and the lie have value and they have power. Both of them do. The lie has a power to put us into bondage and to keep us there. The lie will kill you. The truth has power to bring us out of bondage, therefore setting us free, and to keep us free, to give us life. The truth is more than facts. It's saving, redeeming knowledge. The lie is damning, condemning knowledge. The truth is a person, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of all truth. The lie is a person, Satan, which Jesus said was the father of all lies in John chapter 8. Because the Father is true, our truth, and because Jesus said only those things, they hear this, only those things which He heard the Father say. Now what is the Father? He's true, our truth. Jesus said, "I only say what I hear my Father say." So when Jesus opened His mouth and He spoke, what was He speaking? Truth. Truth. And because He did only those things that the Father showed Him to do, therefore Jesus, the Son of God, is true and truth. In John 8:26, "I have many things to say to you and judge of you, but He that sent me is true. He's true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard of Him. Therefore, He's speaking truth." They understood not that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." You know, Matthew 27:54, when Jesus gave up the ghost, gave up His spirit, He said, "No man takes it from me," but He gave it up to the Father. Then it says, "Now the centurion and they that were with him, his army, watching Jesus die on that cross, and they saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." Doesn't say that the priests and Levites and the Pharisees and Sadducees said it, but these Gentiles said it. Praise God. Verse 29, you know, Jesus said that the harlots and all these people are going to go into the kingdom before you do. Verse 29, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." He's not left Him alone. What did Jesus say in John 12? He said that "My Father and I will come to you and make our abode with you." He said, "I will not leave you comfortless or orphans." He'll come to us. We're not alone, praise God. Hopefully. You just can't make that statement in so. There has to be a reason why it's so. Remember that Jesus told the disciples by the well at Sychar that His food was to do the will of His Father in heaven and to finish His works. Verse 30, "And as Jesus spoke these words, many believed on Him." Jesus was speaking prophetic words of truth because He was only speaking the words that He heard from His Father, who is true. Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." If I do not somehow see what God is saying, you know what? He's the truth, I'm the liar. Anything that doesn't agree with Him is a lie. Verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed." It's absolutely impossible to be a disciple of Jesus in this world unless we continue in His Word. Therefore, we can say it's absolutely impossible to make heaven unless you continue in His Word. There is no truth outside the words of God that Jesus speaks. And therefore, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Those who will not live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God will have and do have serious problems that drag them down, defeat them at every turn, because they refuse to live according to every word of God, every word that comes out of His mouth. And in time, they'll self-destruct. It must be every word, just a few words or some words that you've selected to appease your itching ears. That won't work. You know, everybody's writing their own Bible and their own doctrine. I can tell you that if you have persistent, lingering problems this morning, regardless of the nature of those problems, it's because you're not into the Word of God and you're not continuing or living according to all His words of truth. How can we say that? Because He said you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And if I'm not free this morning, I'm not continuing in His words. Simple. It's very simple. In John 5:38-39, we read, "You have not His word abiding in you. For whom He has sent, you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And it is they which testify of me." Brethren and sisters, this morning, are you searching the Word? Do you? Jesus said, you don't have the Word abiding in you. Do you have the Word abiding in you this morning? How? You know, and here's these people, "Oh, I just don't know why God's done that to me." Well, you know what God says? "I just don't know why you don't read my Word and continue it." Praise God. How can anyone abide, continue, or live in something they will not search out and know? Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You may sit and listen to or watch every preacher and teacher on TV or on your CDs or whatever, but unless you're in the Word of truth and searching it out and abiding in it and continuing it and living according to it, you cannot and will not be made free. We can cast out demons till the cows come home. But if a person will not continue in every word of truth that proceeds out of the mouth of God, they'll never be free. And if they got free, they won't stay free. We'll not make a mockery out of the Word of God by attempting to circumvent it, ignore it, resist it, or alter it. We'll either obey it or it will condemn us. You're sick, tormented, and entering into temptation only because you're not abiding in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, out of His mouth. It cannot be otherwise, for He does not lie. Live outside the Word of God and you cannot be His disciple indeed or in truth, and therefore you'll never be free. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, free from every bondage. If the truth sets a person free or a community free or a church or a family, then the lie puts a person or a community or a family or church in bondage. Verse 33, they answered him, "We be of Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How say you, we shall be made free?" This is a lie they're telling right here. And lies are used to an attempt to justify themselves. They were at that very time under the bondage of the Roman Empire. Praise God. I want to skip down here because there's something I want you to hear. Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Hallelujah. You know, we need to cease running here and there and trying this and that to be free. Just run to Jesus. Abide His words, and He will make you free indeed, or He's a liar. And He's not. Conflict in words. What do we do about that? When we have, He said, "Cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ, who is the truth." John 10 tells us again that His sheep know His voice, a stranger they will not follow. They'll flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The devil knows how powerful words are too. And so there's conflicts. And there's the Word of God, which sets free. And then there's these words that the enemy, our thoughts, our imaginations of friends, people, the world put in our mind. Many languages, many tongues, none without significance. We have to know who's talking to us. Is it ourselves? Is it the devil? Is it the world? We have to know the difference. I don't mean this wrong. I have a good doctor. And he's a spirit-filled man. He prays for you and so forth. But you know what? If the doctor told me something, that's good. He's an educated man. I'm not. But I want to hear what God says.
Amen.
In the lawyer, the policeman, I don't care. The boss. The boss says, I'm going to fire you. Say whatever you want to say. I want to hear what God has to say. He has the last word. If you let him. Truth within us has an adversary. And it's our own imaginations and thoughts and the voice of the stranger. I tell you, if you listen to that, you'll be so bound by fear, anger, whatever, jealousy. We must confess that our thoughts are wrong thoughts and confess the wrongness of those thoughts that He might forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you know what the Scripture Romans say? We don't even know how to pray as we are. So if we don't know how to pray right, how can you trust any of your thoughts? Praise God. The power. Most people are living in, according to their own thoughts or thoughts, you know, they've heard or wherever they come from. Now, the power of the word of authority. In Matthew 7:28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Praise God. Now, John 6:63 is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life. Spirit words are words given by God and by revelation of the Holy Spirit always produce life in the hearer. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God who has made us, oh, I like this. You're going to like this. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus always taught by the power of revelation of the Holy Spirit, hearing and saying only what the Father said. And therefore, He taught the Spirit of the New Testament, not the letter. Praise God. Mark 1:27, and they were all amazed. I'm talking to you here about prophetic word. Okay? That's what we're talking about here, an authoritative word. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commands He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him. It's all in the authority, folks. Let me say this. You know where that prophetic authority word comes from? Praise God. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we repeat what He said. And that's where the power is at. And I'll tell you what, the devil can slap me in the face. He can do what? He can ignore me. He can do like that demon in those, that one man, the seven sons of Sceva, trying to cast the devil. He can do it. But when God speaks through your mouth, the devil has to obey.
Amen.
He has to obey. Because Jesus said only to the unclean spirit what the Father told him to say. It was a word of authority that the unclean spirit had to obey and had no choice but to obey. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Luke 7:1. Now when Jesus had ended all these sayings with the sayings of authority in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. Listen to this. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to Him was sick and ready to die. And we heard of Jesus, He sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they sought Jesus instantly, saying, that this man is worthy for whom he should, that you should do this. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went unto them. You know, this man is like Cornelius over in Caesarea by the seashore. He's like him. God heard the prayers of Cornelius because he had done good deeds. See, you and I are, we can build up a reserve. We can build up something that God will, He'll listen to us because we built it up. So I'm going to say, don't get stingy with God. Then Jesus went with him, and when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him and turned about and said to the people that followed him, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been made sick. You know why? He sent his word and healed him. Now, the man said, I'm a man under authority. He understands authority. And because he understands authority, he understands that Jesus speaks with authority. Because he says only what the Father says. Okay? Now, to be under authority means to continue in his word. The devils in sickness only have to obey those that are under authority. We can tell demons to come out, to move, to leave a thousand times, but they'll only laugh at us unless we speak with the authority of a clean life and the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to be successful. People are coming here, God wants them to be set free. But I tell you what, unless it's an authority word, a prophetic word, the devil doesn't have to do anything. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. I deal with this myself. But the thing is, let's do it right. Let's do what he says. Let's be people that are under authority. We're continuing in the word. And we're hearing what he says. And we say what he says. And we say it in faith. And it's going to work. We say it when we're supposed to say it. We say it to who we're supposed to say it to. And it works. We can attack the kingdom of darkness. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Jane, would you come? Praise God. Well, not finished, but I'm going to stop there because I want to have an opportunity to pray for people. This morning, we have time, don't we? This Brother Merrill's been talking about healing, and I believe God wants to heal some people. Amen. And the first, I want to ask for people that want to be healed, need healing in their body. If you'll come, well, let's stand. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.